Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We promised it, and we delivered. ESPN 102.5 The Game is live with Tennessee Titans post-game coverage, taking your phone calls. Load up our phone lines. Calvin Smith and Elijah Campbell are in here live at the studio. We ran.
Man.
We sped. We're out of breath. But we have your phone calls to get to with your reaction from this game. We'll get to calls from people in Baltimore who are live on the scene reporting a little bit later. But let's start it off with Christina, who has been waiting oh so patiently on the line. Christina, thank you so much for calling.
Thanks for having me. I just wanted to send a shout out to the Titans. Y'all did amazing. You have bought me into your system at the beginning of the season. I couldn't really sit down and watch a football game, but now I'm timing the exact moment when the Titans game comes on. I was amazed at last week beating the Patriots. That's absolutely amazing. And then this week going up to Baltimore and crushing it again. Keep up the great work. You guys have been shocking me. It has been an amazing week for Nashville sports, and let's keep up the work. Good work.
Wow, Christina, if you could hold on the line for just a second. For those of you that don't know, I didn't say it when I brought her in. She's out in Colorado. You said you didn't watch a football game before this. How did you get introduced to this Titans football team who started the season 2-4?
Just kind of tuning in on and off to random football games, being kind of the underdog. 2-4 is not a great way to start off a season. Yeah. Just kind of watching random games and watching the progression. I have family down in Tennessee, and they kept me updated.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for the
incredible
call, Christina. Christina in Colorado got us kicked off here on ESPN 102.5 The Game's live post-game coverage from the Titans' win over the Baltimore Ravens to go to the AFC Championship, not AFC South. Elijah Campbell is now in the studio.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever driven that fast from Murfreesboro to Nashville, but we got it done. We did it. I didn't get pulled over, which is the most miraculous part of all of this. But going back to Christina's call, yeah, there is something about this Titans team that is relatable to a lot of us. A lot of people didn't believe in this Titans team, and that's perfectly normal. This is a 9-7 football team. This is a team that was 2-4. They had to change quarterbacks, arguably the most important position in the entire sport. They had
maybe
to mix
in all
up
of sports in general.
Exactly. And they had to mix that up almost halfway through the year. And they still have found themselves in a position not only to get in the playoffs, but to dethrone Tom Brady and the eventual MVP Lamar Jackson on the road in consecutive weeks is nothing short of incredible and improbable. And that's why I feel like a lot of people can relate to this team and can really, even if you're not from the area, get on board with this Cinderella story, because that's really what it's become.
All right, we have a couple open lines. You can still get in here. Call us 615-737-1025, and we want to have some lighthearted fun with this Titans win. So I have a sounder we're going to play before we go to every call.
Say that to me. Say that to anybody. Say it to somebody.
And then when you hear
Mad
that,
Dog.
When you hear the Mad Dog, that means it's your time to talk. So Keith in the Borough.
Say that to me. Say that to anybody. Say
hey,
it to
I'll
somebody.
I'll say it, dog. All right, hey. For real, it was an all-team effort. It was an all-team effort from special teams, the defense, the offense. I mean, no joke, this was an all-team effort. Derrick Henry got it done, and I cannot believe it, man. I mean, we paid them back for Chris Johnson getting his ankle twisted. I mean, no one wants to sit here and blame them for it, but we're going to sit here and call it like it is. They twisted their ankle. And guess what? We freaking hit them in the mouth. I'm sorry if I called you.
Nice catch.
Good save.
Okay.
That was
it's
a good
right.
save.
Chief Keith
hey,
in the borough.
The emotion is real. I totally understand the emotion.
This is live radio, everybody.
And here's the crazy thing, Keith. I totally get that, too, because people don't forget what happened in that playoff game over a decade ago with the twisting of Chris Johnson's ankle. And that ran through my mind tonight, too, is how do Ravens fans feel? It has to be similar to what the Titans fans felt on that night in 2009, wouldn't you think?
Yes, sir, absolutely. And, I mean, they came through and they smashed them in the mouth. And I just want to hear reactions. If I can just stay on hold until then, because I'm in the borough and I don't think 97.5 is working right, if I can just stay on the line for y'all's reactions, I would be it.
No problem. We also have the game
100%,
app,
brother.
But if you call back, I can leave you on hold, okay? Because I got to drop you right here working this board. I'll drop you. You give me a call right back when we get to our next call. We'll be all good, okay, Keith?
All right, sounds good,
y'all. Yeah, thank you for listening, Keith.
Thank you so much, Keith. We do have a line open. Get in here. 615-737-1025. Keith wants to hear your reaction. I want to hear your reaction. Elijah wants to hear your reaction.
I am dying for your reaction.
We
I
have
need
a
reactions.
Phone line open. We'll have audio from the post-game press conferences. We'll have Chase McCabe call in live from Baltimore. We're going to do it all right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Alex in Antioch.
Say that to me. Say that to anybody. Say it to somebody.
Oh, I'm just going to say it right now. The coach, Tom Tannehill, of course, King Henry, just crown him already, MVP. I'm literally still walking sideways after leaving the George Jones party, but holy mother, what a hell of a game.
Yeah.
I mean, just the it was, I thought for a second there, when the Ravens got that touchdown, I thought, aren't they going to make a comeback? Nope. The defense just held for two fourth downs, and they were able to just halt them right in their tracks, which honestly surprised me, especially with Lamar Jackson being as good as he is during the whole season. But once again, the coach, man, he knew what he was doing. So,
especially Dean Pease. Yeah, not to be lost in this. I feel you, Alex. Not to be lost in this. Dean
Pease. Thank you for the call, Alex.
Had one of the greatest game plans to stop Lamar Jackson, too. And part of it is to contain him and kind of force him to the outside. There was a lot of times tonight where, especially Kamale Correa, I noticed on several plays.
One of his best games playing in pursuit against his former team. Yes.
Yes. Oh, and not just like if you look at the stat sheet where you just look at tackles or assisted tackles. There were times where he contained Lamar Jackson on the outside and maybe Logan Ryan made the tackle. But Kamale Correa slowing Lamar Jackson up enough to where Logan Ryan could make that tackle was what helped contain Lamar Jackson, which is something that NFL teams haven't been able to do. Lamar Jackson still rushed for 100 yards.
Over 100 yards.
Yeah, well over 100 yards. But it didn't feel that way because the Titans were able to contain and still were able to pressure him whenever he did drop back to pass. And that's what forced turnovers. We talked about it on the kickoff this morning, that if the Titans were able to turn Lamar Jackson over and their last loss against the Cleveland Browns, Lamar Jackson threw two picks and lost a fumble. Guess what happened tonight?
You said it. Three turnovers today from Lamar Jackson.
Three turnovers. He threw two picks and lost a fumble, and the Titans came away victorious.
All right. This will take us to Dustin.
Say that to me. Say that to anybody. Say it to somebody.
Go for it, Dustin.
Hello, my name is Braxton.
Braxton, sorry, I must have had your name wrong. That's my fault. Okay. I'm juggling a lot here.
Boo.
It's okay. See, on my thoughts, I knew we were going to win. I didn't know how close it was going to be. People were doubting us the whole season, like, Mariota's not going to get it done, Tannehill's not going to get it done. But I had faith in my team, so I just knew that we were going to get it done somehow, even if we had to do, like, Music City Miracle or whatever. Run Derrick Henry 100 times, 1,000 times. We don't care. We're going to get it done. And that's what we did tonight.
Hey, Braxton, sorry I messed up your name earlier. Could you sound a little bit younger? How old are you?
I'm 13.
13 years old, 11:07 p.m., celebrating a Titans win on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thank you so much, Braxton.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I mean, I totally understand where he's coming from, too. I mean, a lot of people have doubted the Titans this year, and that's what makes this team so much fun, is that even the media pundits, even the pinheads like us who sit behind a microphone and talk about the sport day in and day out are wrong about the Titans because this team is defying all the odds, and that's what makes it so fun. That's what makes a sixth seed that is 9-7 winning two games on the road to get to an AFC championship game so improbable and so fun. This is one of the best parts about sports is the Cinderella stories.
You love it.
You love it. You love to see it. And for the fans who really, truly believed, you have stronger faith than a lot of other fan bases to be able to ride through what the Titans rode through this year.
I ran the numbers on this and the improbabilities of this. Okay, so if we use ESPN's matchup predictor as a fair proxy for percentages of winning games, don't take it for everything, but take it for a little bit of something. The Titans had about a 30% chance to beat the Patriots and then just an 18% chance to beat the Ravens. So me being the math guy I am, you do a little bit of statistics probability work, you come to the conclusion that per ESPN's FPI, the Titans only had a 5% chance of beating both teams. And they did it. 5 out of 100 scenarios only go the Titans' way, and that is something special.
That's incredibly special. How often does that happen in sports, too, where the odds are that low? And that's what makes some of the best sports stories. And for them to do it on the road, too, and with two totally different obstacles that they've had to face too. We talked about this morning that there was a difference between facing the Patriots team.
I blew up your train of thought there, but we're going to keep getting to the callers because they're blowing up the phone lines. We have an open line, and we're going to go to Kevin now. Kevin,
say that to me. Say that to anybody. Say it to somebody.
What's up, Kevin?
Just calling from Renfrew, Ontario, Canada. The Titans are just dominating. Awesome to see. Longtime Titan, former Oiler
fan. Wait, did you say Ontario, Canada? Sorry to interrupt you, Kevin.
Yes, I am.
That's fantastic. We have Colorado, a 13-year-old, and Ontario, Canada. You're on the program.
Marking off all on the list.
Yeah. Not a Predators fan, a Leaf fan, but I'm a Titan fan, have been for a long time. Awesome to see them knock off the Patriots, walk in, and just dominate Baltimore like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah. How surprised are you? On a scale of 1 to 10, Kevin, how surprised are you that the Titans were able to pull this off? And how confident were you as a fan coming into this game, playing against a Ravens team that's the number one seed in the AFC and having a dynamic offense as they did? How confident were you and how shocked are you that the Titans were actually able to pull this off from a fan standpoint?
Well, let's say 5 because the game is always played on the field, not with the numbers. But to see them dominate the way they did, and once you got to the second half, you know how dominant they've been in the second half, the last, 5-7 games that they played. As long as the game is close going into the second half, they pretty well roll over their opponent with Henry just walking over people.
Awesome. Thank you so much for the call, Kevin. We're hitting all the maps on the geographic world here.
I love it.
And the thing I don't want to get lost in this game is how much I commend Dean Pease for what he's done. I mean, yes, the Patriots is where I'm going. The last week, Tom Brady's not the same. That wide receiver group isn't the same. But holding them to 13 points is no small feat. And then taking your team on the road to a hostile environment in Baltimore, no small feat against the NFL MVP. Dean Pease had a scheme today that worked. Outside of Rashawn Evans blitzing one time that I remember off the top of my head, this team played incredibly disciplined within the scheme Dean Pease built to contain Lamar Jackson, and it worked to perfection. There are going to be a lot of talks about Lamar Jackson being rusty, and I don't buy that as much personally because of how he started the game.
I do a little bit. I mean, there was a little rust, especially with some of the receivers and the timing involved, too, because Lamar Jackson was behind on a lot of throws as well. I think there was a timing issue in terms of the passing game, but I like what you said about Dean Pease. And with this defense, too, it was a lot of next man up mentality. I want to give a big shout out to David Long. That guy came in and played a very solid game. He really did. 6th-round draft pick, had to earn his spot on this team, and when Jayon Brown went down, it was a next-man-up mentality.
David Long played a heck of a game.
And that is the type of mentality, that's the type of team and culture you need to be able to win in the NFL. And credit to Mike Vrabel and Dean Pease and this whole coaching staff, they've been able to establish that culture and make that happen.
All right, so if you're on the line, Denver, Dan, Tyler, and everybody else on the lines right now, we have two lines open right now for you here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Give us a call with your Tennessee Titans reaction. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. Give us a call. We're going to be talking Titans for a long time here on the program. We'll be right back after a short, I promise it's short, commercial break. I told you we'd be back really quickly. I'm still a little bit amped up from the adrenaline rush of this game, being in this city right here, right now. The Tennessee Titans pulling off an improbable domination up in Baltimore. In the last segment, I gave a lot of credit to Dean Pease. Derrick Henry went wild again. Ryan Tannehill didn't even have to throw with how the whole complexion of this game turned out. Ryan Tannehill barely had to attempt even five passes, it felt like. I'm Calvin Smith. He's Elijah Campbell. Continue to load up our phone lines. We have a couple spots open for you. 615-737-1025. Calvin Smith, Elijah Campbell.
Load him up,
here
baby.
With you.
Load him up. We'll be here as long as you want us here. This is, I mean, I think we're all, as a fan base, riding an incredible high of pulling off an upset the way the Titans did tonight. I'm just looking forward to hearing what everyone has to say about it. I say let's take this over to Denver. Go to Denver.
Denver Dan.
What is up, my man?
Yes, Denver Dan here. I will say this to you, that my number one complaint about the NFL is this Dallas Cowboys America's Team bullcrap. I bet you, I'm hearing from my friends back home who are loving the Titans. I bet you if you surveyed football fans that have watched the past 3 weeks of NFL football, you'd find that the Titans are America's team. People love them because of the way they play. And I think we're going all the way. Thanks, fellas.
Yeah, I definitely see what you're saying there. They knocked off the Patriots. What else can you do
and the Ravens.
Yeah, what else can you do to be America's team than knock off the ultimate American supervillain in the New England Patriots? Yeah, I totally understand that. This team is incredibly lovable because of how they're knocking off some of the better teams in the NFL. And this is a Cinderella story that this market has longed for. We've always talked about how the national media rags on the Titans or kind of dismisses them because they're just
the Titans.
I ragged on
the Titans this very morning, Elijah, when we did the kickoff. I picked the Ravens to beat them 35-20.
Why? By multiple touchdowns.
Why? Because I believed in how good this Ravens offense is. And this game doesn't make me think any less of the Ravens offense as a whole, but gives me an incredibly high level of respect for the tenacity and motivation level that this Titans team came out with today and their ability to take motivation, which can carry you away to long distances far, far away and cause you to play reckless and sloppy football. And you know what they didn't do?
They didn't play reckless and sloppy football.
They were disciplined throughout every facet of the game, from the offensive line blocking to the defense sticking to their assignment, not trying to play too much hero football against the NFL's MVP.
Guys stepped up, too. That is what I've loved about this Titans team, especially in this game. Kenny Vaccaro, who has not been known as an elite or even a great cover safety when he has to be, made a couple incredible plays
INT,
on the ball tonight.
Interception.
He got that interception. He read Lamar Jackson like a book and made a play when he needed to make a play. And that is absolutely incredible. That is one of my favorite things about this Titans team. You have the David Longs. You have the Kenny Vaccaros, guys who stepped up when there were injuries that have kind of hindered this Titans defense. We talked about it this morning, about how Jayon Brown, that injury had a huge effect on this Titans team, and someone had to step up. Well, multiple guys stepped up tonight on this Titans defense, and that's how you hold an offense like that to 12 points.
Hey, let's take it back to the callers, huh?
Absolutely. Let's
say that to me. Say that to anybody. Say it to somebody.
Yeah, let's hear from Tyler. Tyler, what's up, bud?
Woo! Let's go! Man, I had to disagree with you, though, about the whole underdog thing. Man, we're not underdogs. I'm telling you, we just got off to a bad start. As soon as we made that quarterback change, look how the second half of our season went. We're not underdogs. We beat the Patriots. Now, I will have to say this. It's irritating me how people are making excuses. Okay, they said the Patriots. They said, oh, Tom Brady doesn't have receivers because we beat them. Now they're saying, oh, the Ravens. They're saying the Ravens are rusty because they haven't played in a few weeks. No, we're really like that. We're that good. So give us some credit. We're actually that good. That's all I got.
I agree with you. Still underdogs, though. I mean, I still got to say the Titans are still underdogs. Anytime you go into a playoff game as a 9.5-point underdog, Vegas doesn't give out spreads like that.
The second wild card team as well.
Yeah, the Vegas.
Thank you for the call, by the way.
Yeah, thank you for the call. Yeah, and I'm loving the enthusiasm, and the Titans fan base has 1,000% reason to be incredibly excited about tonight, because this is an underdog story. Like, yeah, the Titans are about that. This defense is about that, and there were
all
a lot
of
questions.
A sudden too down the stretch. Like this defense, we would talk about it.
Yeah,
this wasn't the strength of the team. They were relying on the power of Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill's wicked efficiency.
Yeah, but you could see this defense have flashes. And the thing that they struggled with, I guess, was injuries. Last year, they were one of the better defenses in the league in almost every metric. This year, it wasn't the same because it's hard to reciprocate year in and year out. And with the injuries, without having Malcolm Butler for the part that they did, it was a little hard for this defense to kind of reciprocate that success. But the fact that they're able to do it tonight, to me, is mind-numbing. That's an incredible feat for them. And let's take it back to the callers. We got James on the line.
Say that to anybody. Say that to somebody.
James, what you got for us, my man?
Well, Tennessee Titans at the beginning of year 2-4, and they upset two number one teams for former Tom Brady and the New England Patriots and Baltimore Ravens, one more win. Titans are Super Bowl bound, and I'm a diehard Tennessee fan. It's about time Tannehill stepped up and came in when he needed to, and I hope they go in the Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for the call, James. We appreciate it. Don't forget, we're going to be taking your calls as long as you want to call. You're driving around. Mm-hmm. You're hype about the game. You're a Titans fan in Nashville. Or you're not, and you just want to give your thoughts on what this team has done. Give us a call. 615-737-1025. It's easy. 615, Nashville's area code. 737, and then our station, 1025. Give us a call. We want it.
We won it. Yeah, it's so hard not to be excited about a game like this. And even if you're just a sports fan, this story has to absolutely capture your attention, has to captivate you. Yeah, tickle you pink, if you will, to throw out one of my favorite old slogans that my dad would say. It has to tickle you pink. But, I mean, really, coming into today, I figured the Titans would have a chance. I thought their defense was good enough to maybe slow Lamar Jackson down enough to where they could be in the game. Did I think they would be able to pull it off? Absolutely not. I was very confident that in a chess match, Dean Pease with Greg Roman, given the history that they've had, given a couple Super Bowls ago, seven or eight, in the 2013 Super Bowl, Dean Pease was able to outsmart Greg Roman and be able to pull off a win against him and on the biggest stage. That should give Titans fans some confidence. But I didn't think that Dean Pease would be able to construct a game plan quite like he did today, or then be able to pull it out. I mean, there's one thing to game plan it. It's another thing to be able to pull it off in the way in which they did. I mean, we talked about it that, yes, the key to beating the Ravens is to make Lamar Jackson turn the ball over 3 or 4 times, but that's so much easier said than done. I mean, obviously, in theory, that's the way to beat the Ravens, but not many teams have been able to do that. Only a few teams have, and even when a few teams have been able to do that, only two teams have been able to actually beat the Ravens by doing that. So the fact that they're able to pull it off only makes the story even more incredible, and I think it's time for more calls.
Say that to me. Say that to anybody. Say it to somebody.
All right, who we got here? Let's go with James. James, what you got for us, my man?
Tighten up, guys. Tighten up. You'll have to forgive me. I'm a little hoarse. We had y'all in today to do a live remote at Boomba's today with Chris.
Uh-huh.
And let me tell you, it's become a tradition now. We win when you're there. It was amazing to see that crowd today. I am a Patriots fan from Boston, but it was amazing to watch the Titans today. Derrick Henry carrying that team, 100 and how many yards?
About 183, I believe.
I thought it was 190. I thought it got up to like 195.
It might be.
What I sent out on the final push notification. So
yeah, it might have even gotten to that. He flirted with 200. But James, I have a question for you here too. So as a Patriots fan coming into today, were you really cheering for the Titans, I guess, to pull off an upset against the Ravens?
Absolutely. I've been here since 1989. I'm originally from Boston. You always root for the home team, and when my Patriots are playing, I always root for them Titans.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. Well, I mean, you picked a good night to do it, too, and glad you got to be able to have the experience at Boomba's. I mean, hey, last two games, we've done shows at Boomba's, Craft Pizza, and Tap House, and the Titans just so happen to be 2-0. Glad you went to the party, and glad you had fun. Thank you for your call, James.
All right, guys.
Yeah, that was, man, a Boston Patriots fan in Nashville. Love it. Cheering for the Titans.
From all around the country and the world with Canada.
And let's go. Yeah, Johnny. Johnny, you've been waiting patiently.
Say that to me. Say that to anybody. Say it to somebody.
Johnny, what you got for us, brother?
Let me tell you. As long as Tennessee can keep on running the ball and have some good old defense, we'll go as far as we can go. Let me tell you.
It's worked so far.
Hey, I'm telling you, you can win in the playoffs if you run the ball and if you're able to stop anyone, let me tell you. Go Titans, tighten up.
All right. Appreciate your call, Johnny. That was good. I mean, that's a big key to the Titans' success. That's their MO. Run the ball and play some defense. Let's go up to Louie. Louie, what you got for us, man?
Say that to me. Say that to anybody. Say it to somebody.
Just so proud the Titans tighten up. Play great run defense. Derrick Henry is a beast. Best running back in the NFL. I look at the Tennessee Volunteers. Look at the Tennessee Titans. Change the quarterback. Coach makes great gutsy move. Change the quarterback. Rest is history. No turnovers. Great running defense. And great running offense. Titans going to win the whole thing. Thinking
oh,
right, wow. Tom.
Oh, boy.
Calling it here. Louie, calling his shot here, baby.
Louie, where are you located?
Murfreesboro, tighten up.
Murfreesboro, thank you so much for the call, Louie. We appreciate it.
Representing tonight.
We're knocking it all out of the park, and we have a couple open lines. We got through some calls there. We want to load them back up. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. In the next segment, don't worry, it's just going to be a quick break. But in the next segment, we'll talk to Chase McCabe. And guess where he is? He's live in Baltimore. He was at the game. He got post-game audio. We have a one-on-one with a defensive back named Adoree Jackson, who had a dang good game today. And you'll be able to hear that a little bit later on in the program. So up next, we'll get to your calls. Load us up. 615-737-1025 is the number as we continue reaction to this Titans and Ravens game. Coming up next, we'll get to Chase McCabe live from Baltimore. This is whatever this show is called, with Calvin Smith and Elijah Campbell on ESPN 102.5. This is, well, I guess we'll call this the return, because our show in the mornings before Titans games is called the kickoff. So Calvin Smith and Elijah Campbell here with you.
It only
on
makes
a late
sense.
Night. After a Titans win over the Baltimore Ravens, we will still take your phone calls. Don't worry. We have a couple lines open after we get through with Chase McCabe here. We'll go right back to you with your thoughts, Titans fans. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. But we, this very station, had somebody live on the ground covering this game in the fantastic Chase McCabe from Darren, Donick, and Chase, middays 10 a.m. to 2, and we'll bring Chase in now for some reaction from this game. First of all, Chase, what's up? How you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good. I'm running on adrenaline right now. I'm watching it rain here at M&T Bank Stadium here in the press box. We just got done in the locker room, but I'm still just – I'm staring at the scoreboard, and I'm like, did this really happen? Did the Titans actually come in here and win this game 28-12, but they're headed to the AFC Championship, boys.
Chase, you last night on Chase and TD, today on Chase and TD, you picked the Titans to win. And I'm going to be honest, I thought the Titans were not going to win this game, and I honestly thought it wasn't going to be close, so I commend you for picking them. But how surprised are you, one person who picked them to win, by it happening in this fashion in the way it did?
Yeah, I wasn't expecting it to be by this much by any means. I mean, look, that's the honest truth. I did pick them to win, and after we got done with the show, or you guys got done with the show in Toronto and I started, I was seeing all the tweets and the texts of the doom and gloom that you guys apparently had talked about. But
which wasn't even really that gloomy.
No, I don't think it was either, but I mean, I was not expecting this type of domination at all. I don't think anybody really was. I just think that the Titans came in and they had a belief and they had a game plan that they wanted to execute, and they did that. It took some luck. It took some turnovers. It took some fourth down stops. It took some trickery by Arthur Smith, but ultimately they were able to get it done.
In talking about defense, too, I mean, one of the biggest keys coming into this game was how in the world are the Titans going to stop MVP Lamar Jackson? And, I mean, Lamar got his yards. I mean, towards the end, I think he ended up accumulating over 300 passing yards and over 100 rushing. But the biggest thing was the turnovers. In your opinion, from your view there, how was Dean Pease and this Titans defense able to rattle Lamar early and able to force him into turnovers that he doesn't likely commit?
Well, I think you saw it. I think you just said it. You saw it early on in the game of they got to him early. I mean, they were in his head. And I think we lose sight of the fact that he's a second-year player. And it was his first full season as a starter. So Mike Vrabel, Dean Pease, they were able to exploit that, and that's exactly what they did. They got to him early. They got in his head and rattled him. And, yes, he got the yards, but they were able to make him make mistakes, and that's exactly what they needed to do. So you have to tip your cap to Dean Pease and to Mike Vrabel because he has his hands in that they were able to do that. But the turnovers – that early on was key by Kevin Byard, that interception, I think really set the tone for the defense. And that was, you know, that was something that we've all talked about, that they have to set the tone, and the defense, well, they're the unit that can do that. So they did that. And then, like I said earlier, those fourth down stops, those really led to some Titans momentum swings. And this team just believes in themselves right now. So I think that was the big thing on defense.
And being there like you were tonight, at what point did that stadium kind of have that feel of, ooh, we might be in trouble, or ooh, this Titans team is here and this upset might actually happen?
Well, it was pretty early on. I think when Derrick Henry delivered the jump pass, that's when you really started to hear people go, uh-oh, what, is this for real? And that's honestly when all of us kind of had that feeling of, did that just happen? Because you see Marcus Mariota come on the field. They've been using him, you know, more in some packages like that. But then he goes out wide, and you have Derrick Henry deliver the jump pass and the touchdown to Corey Davis. And he said in the postgame press conference it was always meant for Corey Davis. So he was able to get it done. But I think that was probably the point. But you can also you could go back to Khalif Raymond, Calvin, your guy.
That's been the stand since
Ryan Tannehill. Yes. I mean, you have been on the Khalif Raymond bandwagon since the very beginning. So I think going up 14-0, that could have done it too. But it was later on in the game, once they took a 21-6 lead, I think is when things really started to get away from them, and then they were able to close it out. You know, really, if you think about it, it was early in the second half, I should say, when they were able to close things out, and you started to see people leave or head to the beer stand.
they needed it. Yeah. I was going to say, if you're a Ravens fan, you need to after that point. If Derrick Henry's throwing touchdown passes, another question I would have, in your wildest dreams coming into this game, would you have suspected that Derrick Henry would throw for as many touchdown passes as Lamar Jackson in an AFC divisional round playoff game?
No. No, I would not have thought that, but that's exactly what happened. And it was a play, I don't know if you guys have run it yet, but I talked to Adoree Jackson one-on-one and asked him about that, and he was like, you know, that's one of those plays you run once or twice in training camp, but you keep it in the playbook, and, you know, you never know when you're going to have to go back to it, and that was one of those type plays. But Derrick Henry was determined because he's, you know, thrown the ball a couple times this year and it hadn't worked out, and he said he was determined to get it to Corey and to make it count, and that's exactly what he did.
Awesome. Well, Elijah, if you don't have anything else, Chase, you have a full night ahead of you, I think, there in Baltimore. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. You guys are burning the candle at both ends, and I love it. Reminds me of a young me.
We love to grind, you know.
Keep up the great work.
Hey, it's an honor.
All about the grind.
I'll wear that badge with honor.
Thank you so much, Chase. And he mentioned his Adoree Jackson one-on-one. I think we should go ahead and get to that, get some live reaction from the locker room out there in Baltimore. The hype scene. Chase was able to get a one-on-one with Adoree Jackson, who had several key pass breakups today. A good one-on-one. Thank you, Chase. And let's go to that right now.
Chase McCabe here with Adoree Jackson after the big win over Baltimore. You had quite the game tonight, several key stops. What was it that was working for you?
For me, just trying to play my game and stay poised. You know, I always give credit to God, you know, for giving me the ability to go out there and play. There's a lot of stuff I could have done better throughout the game. You know, I gave up a catch, you know, a crucial one to end the first half and gave them a field goal. So, you know, although that, you know, I probably had a decent game, it's a lot of things that I can go back and watch film and try to get better at.
I know it had to be frustrating to miss so much time due to injury. How rewarding is it to come back the last 2 weeks and get these two playoff wins?
Super frustrating, you know, to be out. But, you know, to have the guys around me keeping my spirits up, you know, my mom, my dad, my girlfriend, you know, be able to help me, you know, get through it and understand that, you know, it's God's timing. You know, I could try to rush back, but it wasn't right. And, you know, to be coming back now at the right time, it's just a wonderful feeling. And, you know, like I always say, when my mom used to tell me, you can tell God your plans, he'll laugh at you. And I think it just wasn't his plans for me to come back until, you know, at the moment last week. And, you know, I'm thankful for it.
Lamar Jackson is obviously a unique quarterback. How much does having somebody like Marcus on this roster prepare you for the RPO and things he can do?
Yeah, both guys, tremendous talents. So, you know, having Marcus to be able to give us and show us a look of what may happen. But, I mean, you never know what exactly was going to go out there. And we talk about just trying to make Lamar run lateral and not vertical up the seams. But when he did, you see what happened. He was gassing us and making plays, and we just tried to limit him and the run game a lot. So just to have Marcus giving us a good look, it helped us to get – you don't know exactly how it's going to be, but it helped us to get us a sense of what may happen. What
did you think about Derek's jump pass for that touchdown?
It was sweet. It was sweet. Just to see it actually come to fruition. I don't know. I haven't seen him run it in a while. So just to have, you know, plays in the back. You know, it's like defense. They say you might not run this call only once in camp, but when we need it, everybody got to know what it is. So to be able to have that play and them use it and do it and it executed well, it was nice to see.
Dory, appreciate the time. Thanks.
Thank you so much to Chase McCabe, who is live in Baltimore. We just talked to him on the phone, got some reaction from how things felt out there in Baltimore. As my mic falls, sorry for the noise. And wow, we still want to take your calls. It's only 11:40 at night, folks. I know you're still out and about.
The night is young.
I know you're still very out there young, having a little bit of fun, going out on the town. While you're out in the back of your Uber or driving safely to wherever you're going.
Partying responsibly, always.
Partying responsibly, not texting while driving. Give us a phone call. We want it. I promise we have a producer in the studio now, the amazing Jared Cassidy. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We want to hear from you. Calvin Smith, Elijah Campbell, we will do this as long as you want it. Just load us up with your phone calls. We will have more Titans post-game reaction after their win 28-12 over the Baltimore Ravens right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Get hype, Nashville. You're going to the AFC Conference Championship. The Tennessee Titans knocked off the Baltimore Ravens in the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. This is real. We'll have post-game audio coming at you in the next segment from all that's gone down. And wow, Elijah Campbell, Jared Cassidy, and Calvin Smith here with you. If you like what you hear, we're a little bit hype right now. You can follow us on Twitter at SmithAcalvin, at E_Campbell3. We are taking your phone calls, reaction to the Titans win. 615-737-1025. Load up our phone lines. We've got two spots open. Just hang on for us. Elijah, first of all, I want to know, was your first thought when you realized the Titans were actually going to win this football game?
I'm like Chase and the rest of MT&T Bank Stadium. It was when Derrick Henry made that jump pass to Corey Davis, and it was 21-6. And you came to the realization that if the Titans are going to break out the trickery, if they're going to break out all the stops, this feels like an opportunity to be able to pull off an upset like this. I felt like that stadium had to be deflated. If you're a fan of the Baltimore Ravens, this team has come into your house and is moving the ball at will. They are forcing your MVP quarterback to turn the ball over. And then they have their running back who's already run for 100 yards against you throw for a touchdown before your MVP quarterback got to even throw for a touchdown himself. Deflating. Mike Vrabel came in there and made a play call that a lot of people don't want to make. That is, to me, when this game was over. I felt like that was a below-the-belt punch enough to the Baltimore Ravens and a hit to their psyche enough to where they could not recover.
And if you're a Ravens fan, I can't imagine how you recover from something like that. That's when I felt that the Titans were in firm control of this game.
I mean, think about it. Being the best team in the NFL, like the Ravens objectively through 16 games were the best team in the NFL, and then it only takes one to come out and end your season. Honestly, the Ravens and Titans play 10 times. The Ravens probably win 7 of them.
I would even say 8.
But it didn't matter.
Yeah.
Because this Titans team was able to control their energy and motivation and channel it into a great and disciplined game. And Jared, let's go back to the callers.
Say that to me. Say that to anybody. Say it to somebody.
Jack, we want to hear from you in East Nashville. What's up, Jack? What's your reaction?
Well, I'm very pleasantly surprised. And two things I think we can put to rest for good. You know, earlier in his tenure, Vrabel would make some of these calls where he just, like a player, straight up went for it, and people said he's crazy. This new coach, you can't do stuff like that. Over time, these same bets he's making are all starting to pan out. But the second thing is I'm wondering when they're going to announce the funeral where we're going to retire that wore-out saying, same old Titans, once and for all.
We're getting close. We're getting close. You think after tonight that it's almost time to retire that? Because, Jack, hasn't that been kind of the theme this year? Or even the last couple of years, the Titans will win big games and lose games they're not supposed to. But that didn't feel that way tonight, did it?
Well, it's a different mindset with Tannehill at the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
You had all the ingredients in place. You just needed a fuse.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be very surprised if a lot of this isn't a man realizing he's got a second chance, not going to make the mistakes he made before, grew up a little, had time to get to know himself, and I really think that's what's at work.
Yeah, salvaging his career.
He's making the best decisions now, plus he's in the right team to make them.
Yeah,
I think you're exactly right, Jack. Thank you so much for the call. We're taking your calls. We want them. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. And I think Jack got at a really good point about Ryan Tannehill, and that in Miami, you have to consider him a failure.
And that, yeah, and the end of the day.
And sadly, like, there's a lot more depth you can put talking about Ryan Tannehill's tenure in the NFL and with Miami, because he had good years there. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, he wasn't the quarterback they decided to proceed with. Well, they're also on a tanking track, so really any good quarterback they wanted no part of. That's why they got Ryan Fitzpatrick. But Ryan Tannehill, I have to imagine, is motivated by himself as a competitor, feeling what happened in Miami and saying, I have weapons here in Nashville, and I'm going to make the most of every opportunity. And you can see the difference since he took over after that Broncos game. Derrick Henry's been different. A.J. Brown has been different. Jonnu Smith and Anthony Firkser have been different, as has a lot of the mantra around this entire team. Because on the broadcast, they talked about the Titans taking on the identity of their coach, Mike Vrabel, and finding an identity in the run game. And I think that's true, but also Ryan Tannehill as a leader. Calm, cool, collected. I think you can say that about this Titans team as well.
Yeah, never too high, never too low, and that's the demeanor you want from a leader. And Ryan Tannehill definitely showed that tonight. Ryan Tannehill doesn't have to throw for 300 yards every game to feel good about himself and to get a win. He did that a lot in Miami. They didn't win a lot in Miami. He realized coming in, you know, to this playoff run, he doesn't have to even throw for 100 yards for this Titans team to win, which almost defies all logic and odds for a lot of modern NFL. Yeah,
I know the odds. It does.
It defies them heavily. But that doesn't worry Ryan Tannehill. That does not bother him. It does not bother him that in the goal line package, when you're up 14-6, they're taking you out of the game and putting in the guy that you replaced so he could be a decoy at wideout so the running back can throw the touchdown that eventually gives them a 21-6 lead. That's the best part about Ryan Tannehill, is he's been a total team player. He's not only made this team better, but he just seems to be the perfect guy to lead this team at the most important position that you could possibly have. And he's provided a stability that this Titans offense has been lacking. He didn't make any mistakes tonight, and he only made the plays that were big enough to win the game, including that touchdown pass to Jonnu and that beautiful dime to Khalif Raymond.
The catch by Jonnu. The catch by Jonnu. I don't want to interrupt your talking.
Right.
But wow. I mean, one hand knocks it back to himself, stays in bounds, gets the left butt cheek down. Clearly, we saw it on review. Mm-hmm. The butt cheek was in.
We learned that one cheek equals 2 feet, and that was good enough tonight. One cheek equals 2 feet.
That's Tennessee Titans football math.
Exactly. If we can get that on a t-shirt, that would be fantastic. We can get one cheek equals 2 feet, the Johnny Smith mantra.
So, Jared, producer Jared, let's go back to the calls. How about it?
Say that to me. Say that to anybody. Say it to somebody.
And if you could hit the button on the right on the phone, perfect. Oh, we're having a bit of a problem with you, Darius. If you could just hold on for a second. There we go. Let's go to Darius in Nashville. Darius, say something.
All right, Calvin, can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you, and I think I know who this is.
I think I know who this is, too.
I know. Both of you guys know who this is.
Welcome to the program, my man.
I appreciate you guys letting me on. First, I want to say y'all doing a great job. I love listening.
Thanks.
Then I want to get to the game, guys. I just want to give props to Mike Vrabel. He came in and he coached a great game plan. And I have to give my hats off to Arthur Smith. But goodness, y'all, this defense has stepped up. You know, arguably, and I'm not going to lie, I think Tremaine Brock has been so underrated because of the loss of Malcolm Butler.
Yeah, he's been huge. Yeah, it's a next man up mentality.
Right, and you know, that's just something I just wanted to throw out there. Just wanted to get you know, some defense, some love too, because they've held, you know, granted Lamar threw 59 passes, if I'm not mistaken, which is a lot.
It was 59. Yes, you're right.
Right. So with them holding him down like that, I think that's impressive. But hope you have a great night, and I'll talk to you guys later, hopefully sometime soon. Great coverage. Hope to see y'all soon. Tighten up.
All right. Thank you so much for the call, Darius. We appreciate it. Darius went to MTSU with Elijah.
Love that guy.
So
Great man.
Darius Horton. He's a good dude. But he got it a lot of good stuff there. Going at the defense and talking about Tremaine Brock, which this secondary, at a point in this season, around the three-quarters mark of the way through, no Malcolm Butler. Adoree Jackson was down. Logan Ryan was your top corner, and he was being put in predicaments he couldn't win in. John Robinson makes a great move, getting the former Cardinal in Tremaine Brock, the 10-year veteran, I believe.
Yeah, and that's been the difference. I mean, what better move can you make as a GM than getting someone who is experienced to fill in the void? I mean, Tremaine Brock doesn't have to be an all-pro, but he's been good enough in his role, and he's actually been better than what anyone could have ever expected. And honestly,
for having to learn the system, yeah.
Yeah, and honestly, a lot of people in this market would say that the signing of Malcolm Butler has been a little disappointing considering the amount of money they signed him for. They've got Tremaine Brock for cheap, and Tremaine Brock has done an incredible job of stepping in and that defense, not skipping a beat. And I love how the first thing he said is giving credit to the defense. The first point he wanted to hit on was giving credit to the defense when the defense has won them these last two games. I know Derrick Henry's played out of his mind. Ryan Tannehill tonight was an efficiency machine. But you don't win this game if you don't force Lamar Jackson to commit four turnovers. You just don't, or three or four turnovers. You just don't win if that doesn't happen. The Titans scored all of their points from either Ravens turnovers or fourth down stops. The Ravens were 8-8 on fourth down, or fourth and one shots, or fourth and one chances or less.
This season.
They were 0-2 tonight.
The Titans continue to beat the odds. We're taking your phone calls still.
That's the thing.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. We want your phone calls, your Tennessee Titans reaction. It's, quite frankly, it's early on in the night. It's only 11:54 here at the studio right by the airport. We want your calls. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Something that I want to make sure is known, too, about this Titans defense is because of how well they played, that's what forced Lamar Jackson to throw 59 passes. That was not in the Ravens' game script at all. And what the Titans needed to have happen to play the brand of football they played tonight was the defense to play at exactly the level they played. And quite honestly, anything less wouldn't have been able to work because the Ravens would have been able to take it. The Titans' defense is what was this kind of glue piece that kept it all together so they could turn around and run the ball so well. They didn't have to drop Ryan Tannehill back because they were playing with a lead the entire game. The whole game, they had a lead. And now, the Titans, game plan, and everything else has come to fruition in a perfect manner twice in back-to-back weeks. It gives me a lot to think about when I talk about, oh, geez, are they going to come out and win next week? I'm not even thinking about that right now, because in this moment, we have all week to talk about what will happen next week. In this moment, right now, appreciate what the Titans did. And we have to go to a break here. Load up the phone line, 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you're on the line right now, please hold for us. We will get to you with your Tennessee Titans reaction after this break right here on ESPN 1025 The Game. This is The Return here on ESPN 1025 The Game. I'm Calvin Smith alongside Elijah Campbell. We normally do a show before the Titans games start called The Kickoff, but this is a pretty big deal and we have full jurisdiction to come in here and run on these airwaves and take your phone calls. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Calvin Smith alongside Elijah Campbell talking about,
yes, sir,
the crazy improbability of this Titans and Ravens game.
How can
so
we not?
Much to talk about. We have a little bit of post-game audio coming up, some jokes from Tajay Sharp. But Elijah, you give me one key from this game that you will remember it by. What is it?
It is turning Lamar Jackson over, forcing him to throw a couple picks, Jarrell Casey getting in the backfield, stripping him on a strip sack, and Jeffrey Simmons getting on that ball and recovering it, and the Titans turning those turnovers into points. And then not to be forgotten, I'm going to lump it into that same category, is those turnovers and the stops on fourth and inches and fourth and one. Happened twice in this game, and in both times they turned those turnovers into points. And that was a huge difference in this game, and that's kind of what I got to attribute this to.
Taking advantage of what the Ravens gave them, and the Titans did exactly that. And producer Jared, I think we got to go back to the phone lines.
Say that to me. Say that to anybody. Say it to somebody.
Let's go to Jeffrey in Columbia. Jeffrey, what do you got?
I was just wondering, did the Ravens quarterback have a really bad game, or did the Titans coaching staff draw up a game plan that knew how to stop the quarterback?
All right, well, thank you so much
for
the question.
That's a good question, yeah.
That's really a mix. Elijah, I'll let you take it first.
It is a little bit of a mix. I think at the beginning of the game, Lamar Jackson did show some signs of rust. I think in the Willie Snead drop, I don't put that completely on Willie Snead, the one late in the first half where the Ravens are starting to drive a little bit, and it's like 3rd and 10, 3rd and 11, and the ball is thrown a little behind Willie Snead. He's maybe 2 or 3 yards short of the sticks, but if Lamar Jackson hits him in stride, Willie Snead is taking that pass the first down marker, and it's first and goal Baltimore. But instead, the pass is a little behind him. Willie Snead drops the ball because he has to kind of make an adjustment that you wouldn't normally make during that route. It's a little bit on both of them, and that timing might be a little bit of a mixture of not playing for a couple weeks, of not playing in week 17, and then having that bye week that you get for being the number one seed. I think there's a little bit of rust with Lamar Jackson. I think Lamar Jackson dropped the ball a little bit in this game, but I would give more so credit to Dean Pease in the Titans defense for creating an environment in which Lamar Jackson couldn't get going. Even there were some plays, Lamar Jackson did break off some runs, but they were able to limit the damage in which he was able to produce by containing him in the pocket more so than a lot of other teams in that position would. So I would say maybe if I'm going to allocate responsibility for how Lamar Jackson and this offense was held to 12 points, I'm going to go 65-35, Dean Pease and Titans defense to the Ravens being rusty and Lamar Jackson not necessarily performing up to par in the passing game.
All right, and now we have some audio. Tajay Sharp with a little bit of a joke in the post-game press conference. Tajay Sharp comes up to the podium, and this is what he delivers.
Anybody got a problem with that? Come see me. About that. Big truck. King who? King Henry. In the flesh. Boop, boop. That's all it's
going. Tajay Sharp comes to the podium to introduce Derrick Henry. And wow, a little bit of a jab there at the Baltimore Ravens because Mark Ingram.
A lot of bit of a jab.
Because Mark Ingram would come up to the podium and introduce Lamar Jackson with the exact same words. And Tajay Sharp, he's on social media. He's responded to Jared Stillman before. And now he takes a shot at Mark Ingram and the Baltimore Ravens with a funny jab. Props to Tajae Sharpe bringing Derrick Henry up to the postgame press conference.
That is A-plus trolling. I mean, trolling is an artwork. And I think all of us in this studio, myself, Calvin, and Jared behind the glass, can all agree that trolling it takes a little bit of an artwork. It's a little bit of a skill, a learned skill. And you got to be able to hit people where you know it's going to hurt them a little bit. And the big trust thing was one thing that this Baltimore Ravens team really prided themselves on. And even Justin Tucker, after hitting a game-winning field goal early in the year, comes up to the podium and introduces somebody and hits them with that big trust line. It's in terms of mockery and trolling, it is an artwork. And this Tennessee Titans team, especially Tajae Sharpe, he didn't have a great game tonight. I don't think he had a catch. I don't know if I even saw him on the field on many plays. But his most important contribution was definitely trolling some Baltimore Ravens after the game tonight with that big trust line. That's expert. That's A-plus trolling. That's how you get. That's how you win the battle, not just on the field, but off of it as well. So Tajae Sharpe contributing in some way, shape, or form tonight.
It seems like he's done it before. Like, that was too much of a savvy move to have not trolled before. But you said you didn't know if Tajae Sharpe had any catches in that game. And I thought we'd get to some final stats from it so you can hear it as you're driving home from the bar, from wherever you went to watch this game. Give us a call. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We want your reaction. If you're in the back of an Uber right now, hype about this game, I want to hear from you. I promise. Give me a call. Calvin Smith and Elijah Campbell. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Some final stats from tonight. Ryan Tannehill only threw 14 passes.
For less than last week. I did not think. We even came on the airwaves this morning, and I was banging the drum that if Ryan Tannehill's only throwing the ball 14 times, you might be in a heap of trouble or this game is being played in the mud. Never been more happy to be more wrong in my life. 14 passes tonight and another game under 100 yards.
14 passes on the back of three turnovers from the defense and 6.5 yards per carry from Derrick Henry. Ryan Tannehill's final line, 7 for 14, 50% completion percentage, 88 passing yards, 2 touchdowns. And that's what's crucial, is the big touchdown to Khalif Raymond he threw. When he had to, Ryan Tannehill still delivered the crucial throws. Derrick Henry, 1 pass, 3 yards, 1 touchdown to Corey Davis.
Had as many as Lamar Jackson.
Derrick Henry on the ground, 30 carries today, 195 yards, 6.5 yards a pop. No rushing touchdowns, though, but he had that one really long 66-yard touchdown run. Ryan Tannehill, 6 carries, 13 yards on the day. And A.J. Brown, it looks like the second time he touched the ball, 1 rush, 9 yards to the receivers. Did Tajae Sharpe have a catch tonight? No, he did have 2 targets. Khalif Raymond, the one big catch, 45 yards, touchdown. I've been leading the Khalif Raymond bandwagon since May. Just had a feeling. And there he is again in a big moment on a deep pass. Speed kills. You can't catch that man in the open field.
And that was when play action worked at its finest tonight. The Ravens were getting ready to load up the box. They were getting ready to blitz. They knew a Derrick Henry run was coming. And it's only in those moments when you plan for a Derrick Henry run up the middle where Ryan Tannehill can beat you deep. You saw it in the Colts game late in the game where they were able to hit Khalif Raymond deep when Derrick Henry was finally picking up steam. And you saw it tonight in the Baltimore Ravens game in the biggest game of the year. Derrick Henry's picking up a little steam. The defense is expecting you to tuck the ball in his hands and let him work his magic. And then you have a favorable advantage for Khalif Raymond deep. And that's when you end up getting some points on the board.
Some other stats. Michael Pruitt gets a catch for 15 yards. Michael Pruitt, more yards than A.J. Brown and Corey Davis combined. Fun fact, A.J. Brown, 1 catch, 9 yards. Jonnu Smith, 2 catches, 12 yards. Derrick Henry, 2 catches, 7. And Corey Davis with the 1 catch, 3 yards. The touchdown that seemed to put the seal on this game. Producer Jared, let's get back to those callers.
Say that to me. Say that to anybody. Say it to somebody.
Jason in Spring Hill, what do you got for us? We want your Titans reaction.
Hey, why not us? Why not us? Derrick Henry's going for over 100 yards every game. When he goes over 100 yards, he wins. Why not us?
Perfect. Yeah. Simple. Perfect. Why not? Short, to the point. Thank you so much for your call, Jason in Spring Hill. Obviously, the Titans callers are very optimistic tonight, Elijah.
As they should be. This is one of the biggest wins in the history of the franchise. The Titans are going back to the AFC Championship game for the first time since I was in the second grade, and I am a grown man. 2002. I mean, that poor, the 13-year-old caller that we had earlier in the show.
Braxton was his name.
Braxton,
still feel
yeah.
bad I had his name wrong.
Yeah, that one's going to stick with you for a while. It poor Braxton. He was able to get on the radio, and you heard his name wrong when you called him earlier. But we're human. We make mistakes. And poor Braxton, 13-year-old Titans fan, one of the best nights of his Titans fan, if not the best night of his Titans fandom, wasn't even alive the last time the Titans were in the AFC Championship game. And he gets to experience that for the first time. And this whole market has not been able to experience an AFC title game in so long. This is a night that everyone needs to be able to enjoy and be able to celebrate, because you don't know when this happens again. Honestly, in 2001, 2002, if you would have said this is the last AFC title game for over a decade and a half, a lot of people, you might not have believed yourself. I mean, this is a great opportunity for this franchise and this fan base right now on tonight to be able to sit back, smell the roses, and say, hey, we have done something at 9-7 that not a lot of football teams do. We are one game away from a Super Bowl appearance.
And if you're a Titans fan, let me tell you, if you've stuck through it through thick and thin, you've shown up to that stadium when there weren't many people there, when there were more Chiefs fans, when there were more Steelers fans, you stuck it out. You earned this one today, because there were some ugly times when Ken Wisenhunt was coaching his team at 2-14, when they were 3-13, when they had everything invested in Mariota, and then they go 2-4 to start this season. You earned this one if you stuck by this team through thick and thin. And because of that, we want your phone calls. We know you're out there.
Bang that drum, baby.
I know you're sitting there in your car, you're listening, and you're saying, hey, you know, I'm feeling good right now. We want to talk to you about this game because you're a Titans fan who's earned this one today. Give us a call. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll get to more of your calls on the other side. I see we've already got some on the line. We'll be right back. 615-737-1025 right here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back to The Return here on ESPN 1025 The Game. I'm Calvin Smith alongside Elijah Campbell, and our phone lines, they're loaded. We only have one more line available, and if you're a Titans fan driving around or sitting in the back of an Uber after that game, I want to hear from you. Elijah wants to hear from you. Jared wants to talk to you when you call in. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you're on the line with us, we will get to you, I promise, as quick as we can. And you know what? Jared, let's just go ahead and get to those callers real quick.
Say that to me. Say that to anybody. Say it to somebody.
All right, let's kick it off with Randall in Nashville. Randall, what do you got for us?
Yeah, man, I just want to say, man, I'm proud of them Titan boys, and man, they did a good job out there, man. I just loved it. I loved it. It was a good game. It was a close game, but they got Lamar Jackson, and they got his cleats. They got his cleats and his fingers. They got everything on them.
They sure did.
Perfect.
Yeah,
thank
that's
so
the best
much.
Way to put it.
Thank you so much for the call, Randall. Hey, we've had calls from everywhere. Colorado, 13-year-old Braxton, mm-hmm. Ontario, Canada, and a guy from Boston called in.
Yeah, I mean, this Titans team has captivated a lot of people, and you heard it from Randall there. He's excited about the win. We're getting calls from people that are casual Titan fans, but they might not be, you know, Titan fans year in, year out. But they have been, they've been fans, I mean, of the story. And it's really easy to become a fan of this story. This team, 9-7. This team was dead in the water after the Broncos game. I one thing I'd like to ask some of these callers too is how did you really envision this result happening after the egg they laid in Denver and when the Titans decided to make a coaching change?
Hey, Jared, let's go back to the callers then.
Say that to me. Say that to anybody. Say it to somebody.
Elijah, ask your question to Evan in Old Hickory. Evan, we want your Titans reaction after Elijah asks you the golden question.
Here's the question, Evan. If you're a Titans fan, after the Denver game this year, you travel up, play the Broncos, get blanketed
by a bad Broncos team and having to make a quarterback switch and you're sub 500 by a couple of games, did you envision the Titans being able to pull this off in this moment?
Hell no. I want everybody in the room, raise your hand if you saw Ryan Tannehill having an all-NFL type resurgence in Tennessee. And now put your hand down because you are a liar.
Yeah. Thank you, Evan. They're all lying.
Yeah, no one in the studio has a hand up. We'll tell you that.
Thank you. And let's be real here. Like, Tannehill is dilfering his way through the playoffs right now behind the workhorse that is Derrick Henry. But he has been the linchpin that he was the missing piece this offense was needing, because when Derrick Henry, when you hit them with that deadly play-action pass, Tannehill can connect on those and punish teams where Mariota was missing before. Look, this team has been so exciting to watch with him at the helm, and I know we got a whole lot of free agents coming up this offseason, but I ain't worried about the offseason. I'm worried about the postseason. I'm worried about seeing Ryan Tannehill and Cameron Wake in a Miami Super Bowl, not in Dolphins uniform. That's what I'm worried about. Let's go get it. Kansas City, Houston, I don't care where we play next week. Let's go get it, boys.
Awesome. Perfect. I think that was one of our better calls and very well laid out. Mm-hmm. Ryan Tannehill as the linchpin to this offense so far this season. Evan, thank you for the call.
I think you really hit the nail on the head. There was a missing piece of this Titans offense, and it was stability at the quarterback position, and it was confidence at the quarterback position.
Just hitting the throws you need to hit.
And Mariota didn't hit those because we would talk about Mariota not throwing with conviction. And injuries might be a part of that. They might not be. But Tannehill was that missing piece, and we see it now because now the Titans are in the AFC Championship game.
Jared, let's go back to the calls.
Say that to me. Say that to anybody. Say it to somebody.
Zach in Nashville, we want to hear from you. First of all, before you get to your reaction, did you ever in a million years think the Titans could get to this point after starting 2-4?
No. First of all, this is Zach from Nashville. I was at the Houston game in 03 that sealed a date with the Ravens in the playoffs, and all I heard all week was, oh, we're not going to go up into Baltimore like we did Foxborough and get less than 100 yards with Tannehill and run 180 yards with Derrick Henry and win the game. And what did we do? We won the game. So also, we beat the Texans and the Chiefs already this year. So as a Titans fan since, oh, I don't know, the Music City Miracle, I'm feeling pretty good. Zach in Nashville shouting out Taylor Brazel and Alon Arredondo and Mike Levine. Love y'all. Tighten up.
Thank you so much, Zach in Nashville. All you Titans fans out there, wherever you are, you should be feeling absolutely fantastic and on top of the moon right now. Deservedly so.
Tonight is yours, Titans fans. I mean, this is what you play for. This is what you want your team to get to the playoffs for. This is why, you know, you might take the loss in Week 16 against the Saints just to be able to have Derrick Henry rested up to play the Texans, because once you get in the dance, anything can happen, and the Titans have been able to be an embodiment of that factor in the NFL playoffs.
Titans fan since what, 2003 at least, is what he said there. It's impressive, someone who stuck through it through thick and thin, and when the team is clicking on all cylinders like they are right now, when the defense plays out of their mind and holds the best offense in the NFL to 6 points through basically four quarters.
This is elite. Yeah.
That's pretty elite. And then your running back is playing his best football of his career right now. Jared, let's go back to the calls.
Say that to me. Say that to anybody. Say it to somebody.
Broderick in Nashville, we want to hear it from you, and we want you to answer. Did you ever think this was possible when the Titans started 2-4?
Not a chance. I want to shout out Elijah Campbell. I was actually watching the game with him earlier, but...
Oh, hey, what's up, man?
What's up? And, man, I was watching the game with you, man, and we saw it happen live. I just wanted to shout you out and let you know it's going down, bro. Tighten up.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Broderick. Yeah, Broderick Savage. Yeah, calling from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Yeah, he was over at my house tonight actually watching the game with me, and... We sat there in disbelief. I mean, me and him both coming in tonight when we made plans to watch this game, we really didn't expect the Titans to pull this off.
We didn't expect it on the kickoff this morning either. And John, before we get to your call in Nashville, let's kind of walk the listener through the process of getting to this studio, because it was kind of floated between us and our boss, Ryan Porth, that Hey, you know, if the crazy thing happens, if the thing that won't happen happens and the Titans win this game.
Very loosely floated out there, because we didn't think it would happen.
Maybe somebody comes in and they do, you know, a post-game call-in show and they give their reaction and everything, but that's only if it happens. We were so unconfident in this happening, we didn't even set it up until there was a minute and 20 seconds left on the clock in the game when I texted in our group message and said, mm-hmm. Yo, I think we need to do this. I'm getting in my car.
Yeah, and you got here before I did, and I don't know if I've ever gotten from Murfreesboro to Nashville quicker than what I did tonight. And, I mean, I eluded law enforcement to a degree because, I mean, if there was someone out there and they clocked me, I would have been in a heap of trouble. But we made it here in a timely fashion. It was safe. I don't recommend that.
But we do it for you, the listener, because we know you're a Titans fan who wants to talk about this game, and we want to talk about it with you. Give us a call. 615-737-1025 is the number. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We got a lot of time left tonight, and producer Jared, let's get back to the calls.
Say that to me. Say that to anybody. Say it to somebody.
John in Nashville, we want to hear from you. Did you think the Titans could ever do this after starting 2-4, and then hit us with your reaction to the win?
Of course I did. Yeah,
you did.
Yeah, you believe me, right?
I take your word for it, John.
I don't.
Right. I hate to be the Debbie Downer or whatever through this part, but my question to you guys is, how many of the analysts, you know, both local and, you know, everybody said that there's no way in the world that we can beat, you know, the Ravens with Derrick Henry running the ball for 180 yards and Tannehill only throwing for that's just not going to work. Not only did it work, I mean, it was almost identical.
Yeah,
in a way, yeah.
You know, but nobody is going to admit that they were flat out wrong, and that's just who we are.
Hey John, I'll do you one right here, okay? I came on these airwaves this morning on the kickoff and said that can't happen.
I did
too. They need to come on here and do it. And earlier in the show,
we
did admit to it. We agreed that Ryan Tannehill would need to come up with a few more big pass plays, and that just wasn't the case because of how well this defense played today. And my hands are up.
Right.
I said Ryan Tannehill needed to throw the ball more today.
Yeah. You know, it's just, and I guess to me, my point is every game is different. Nobody sets out to say, I'm just going to only throw the ball for 83 yards. You know, nobody sets out to say, I'm going to run the ball for 180 yards and be the only person in the NFL history to do it three straight games. That just doesn't happen. The game just, you just play the game, and, you know, it just dictates what goes on. And for, like I said, all the media and even us as fans, we have to admit to ourselves that, you know, you just play the game. That's why they say that's why it's not played on paper. You play the game.
Amen.
That's it. Thanks, guys.
Perfect. Thanks. Thank you so much, John in Nashville. We still want your calls out there. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. And he brought up the elephant in the room for the kickoff / the return, whatever you want to call this, the studios, the Wholesale Inc. studios powered by RumbleOn.com here at ESPN 102.5 The Game. Me and you, Elijah, Calvin and Elijah, this morning, both were proved wrong.
Yeah.
Now, does that make it happening again any more likely? No, I don't think so. And John made a good point. Every game is different. But right now, this strategy is working for the Tennessee Titans. Is it one I'm going to bet on next week? Not against the Chiefs.
It'd be
but
hard.
I also wasn't going to bet
very,
on it against
hard.
The Ravens. So,
yeah.
But we've seen it from multiple ways this Titans team can get it done, and it's astounding how truly multiple, versatile as a team they can be.
Yeah. And I mean, even though the net result of Ryan Tannehill's performance tonight was only 83 yards, his effect on tonight's game was a world different than it was against the Patriots, because he did throw for two touchdowns and he did not throw any picks. He didn't make any crucial mistakes to waste Titan opportunities. And those Titans opportunities were obviously caused by the defense. They had some great field position given by their defense in this game by forcing Lamar Jackson to turn the ball over. And Ryan Tannehill just didn't mess that up. And sometimes that is as important as making plays, is to not mess them up.
Game managing as it comes. Alex Smith to the max.
Yeah. And
even
there's
less. Even less than Alex Smith.
And there's really not even a knock on that. I mean, sometimes the game manager tag is assigned to a quarterback who can't get it done on their own without the help of a stout defense. But that's not always the case. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo, to a degree, is a game manager, and you saw what he did today against the Vikings. Ryan Tannehill made the throws he needed to, including the one that I thought was the most important, and that was the shot to Raymond late. That was when maybe a lot of Ravens fans and a lot of Ravens players really had to have a wake-up call and a come-to-Jesus moment when you're down 14-0 and this sixth seed has waltzed into your home stadium and has put two on you early. I mean, this game is a totally different if Ryan Tannehill maybe overthrows Raymond or maybe underthrows him and the ball's picked off. We're talking about a totally different game that they probably don't even win at that point.
I completely agree with you, and we still want your phone calls. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We promise we'll be able to get to you. We're reacting to this Titans and Ravens game. So many things just happened in front of us. Me being the person I am, I just want to go ahead and start talking about the Chiefs game. But I think you, the fan, are still a little bit enjoying this moment if you're out and about, and we still want to hear from you. 615-737-1025. We'll be rocking with you all night long. As long as you want to talk, we'll be here. We're calling this the return, Calvin Smith and Elijah Campbell with you here. And we'll be right back with your calls and some more from the post game on ESPN 1025 The Game. Let me tell you, I'm sure the Titans are feeling like bosses right now. So Meek Mill, I'm a Boss, bringing us back in here on The Return is what we're calling this show. It's basically your post-game for Titans and Ravens coverage. We're taking your phone calls. Yes, you're driving around Nashville. You're a Titans fan. You're a football fan in general.
Talk to us, baby.
Elijah wants to hear from you. I, Calvin Smith, want to hear from you. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. With your reaction to the Titans and this improbable win they're going on right now. The defense plays lights out against the NFL's top offense. Ryan Tannehill game manages it best. Derrick Henry goes off, averages about 6.5 yards per carry today. You've got to be impressed with the way this secondary played, the way the defensive line stayed true to what they need to do. Them and the linebackers remain disciplined against someone who's very hard to contain in Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, this defense has done better than anybody else has with this team. The 49ers defense came in and played the same Ravens offense. We talked about this Niners defense being one of the best in the league, the same defense that held the Vikings to 10 points today in a divisional round playoff matchup. They only were able to contain the Ravens to 20 points in the regular season, and that involved a lot of rain, elements, and just an ugly, ugly game. And that was as long as seen this year. Even in some of the Ravens' losses, they scored 25, 28 points. No one's held them really to under 20. And the Titans, in the biggest game of the year, were able to do that. They were able to get Lamar Jackson not only to turn the ball over, but get him flustered. In the first half, Lamar Jackson was obviously bothered.
Yes.
And that is a huge credit to how well this Titans defense played.
From how disciplined they were and how Dean Pease used his scheme to confuse Lamar and not give him looks that he could just look at the defense and see what he was going to get immediately. And we've got one. Jared, let's
say that to me. Say that to anybody. Say it to somebody.
Let's get to the callers. David, coming all the way from New York to talk about this Titans game with us. David, New York City or New York State?
This is New York City.
Wow, the big one.
Oh, wow. Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, so first of all, I just got to start out. The Titans were what got me into football when I was 11 years old. And I'm so hyped up about this game. I feel like, I feel like the game was awesome, but I feel like they won the right way. You know, if you look at it, they controlled the tempo of the game. The clock management was amazing. You see a lot of teams that want to come out and run the football, but they ran at the right moments and they ran the clock down the whole time. They weren't getting cocky. They weren't throwing, like, for the long ball. They knew what they had to do, and they came out and did it. And it was, this got me. I was so excited about this game.
David, all the way from New York City, are you from New York City originally, and how'd you become a Titans fan if you are?
So I grew up in D.C.
Wow.
Was infatuated with Steve McNair and Eddie George.
Okay.
I think that was the first playoff season I watched, was with the two of them in 1999. And I moved to Nashville, stayed there for 8 years, and then now I'm up in New York. But, yeah, I was watching the game up here, and, oh, man, this was a big one.
How good of a win does this feel, knowing that Zach Mettenberger was your quarterback and this team was 2-14 just 5 years ago?
Yeah, it was ridiculous. I loved it. And to think that we could be here, there's very few teams that you root for where you think they have a shot, but I think this, I don't know, for whatever reason, this team is really playing, like, yeah, it's lights-out defense, it's a good running game, but they have all the recipes to win, and they're not getting ahead of themselves, they're not getting too cocky, they're just making the right decisions at the right time, and they're winning games. It's awesome.
Awesome. Thank you so much, David in New York. We're getting calls from all across the country here tonight to unite about this Tennessee Titans win, and we don't want to come off as homerish, but we want to appreciate what's going on in this city from where this team was to where they are now to start this season, from where they were 5 years ago, and the genesis, the growth, and the development under John Robinson's tutelage and Mike Vrabel, bring him in. It was controversial to bring him in over Mike Mularkey, a guy who'd just taken you to the playoffs. Now you bring in Mike Vrabel, 9-7 last year, 9-7 again this season, but they're on a magical run right now.
Yeah, it just feels like this 9-7 was different than the other 9-7s, and we talked about that a couple weeks ago on the kickoff. Is if we're comparing these 9-7 seasons, this one's different because you felt like you found your missing piece. And going back to our last caller's point, Our last caller.
David in New York.
David in New York, yeah. It's incredible for someone who has fallen in love with this franchise from the days of Steve McNair can now be re-energized with a run right now. It's something that has made the Tennessee Titans almost boring to the national media or the national NFL landscape, that they are not so boring anymore because they are now in the AFC Championship game and they are back in the spotlight of the NFL. And this is the one thing for your franchise that you really needed. Now, I kind of wanted to hit on that point too, but going back to what you were saying earlier, that bold choice by John Robinson to get his guy in there. Now, granted, Mike Mularkey was the coach when John Robinson inherited the GM job of the Tennessee Titans.
Yes.
This was Robinson's first coaching hire, his opportunity to get his guy in there. And a lot of GMs only have one shot at that opportunity. John Dorsey only got one shot at that opportunity.
He only got a couple of years and a few draft picks.
Yeah. I mean, and that's how a lot of the shelf life of a lot of NFL GMs go. So you get one shot and one opportunity to be able to make that hire and work with it the best you can. And John Robinson dug back into his Patriot roots, found a guy who learned under the best in Bill Belichick, and it is paying dividends right now.
I think that you have to appreciate also Amy Adams Strunk in this. And we're not trying to act like they're going to the Super Bowl because there's a lot still left to be played for this Titans team this season.
But only four quarters.
Only four quarters. And this is no small feat for what they've done. And Amy Adams Strunk has shown a commitment to this organization. You know, with Bud Adams, everything was in flux after his unfortunate passing and then his style of ownership. You were unsure of who would take over the team. Well, Amy Adams Strunk has done a fantastic job of inserting herself in a stable role that allows people to do their jobs well. And I would be remiss if I did not extend any kind of congratulations to Amy Adams Strunk for how she's managed this whole scenario. Steve Underwood as well in the front office, in the executive suites, making decisions and allowing John Robinson to come in and giving him the strength and the power to go make a move to go get Mike Vrabel when you believe in something. You want to allow the people who work for you to do the best job they can and take the risks that they think are there if they're going to be worth it. And it worked out for John Robinson and Mike Vrabel right now, and probably in the next couple of years, you'd assume.
Yeah, and that's the difference between a team like the Tennessee Titans and a franchise like the Dallas Cowboys. We could all admit the Dallas Cowboys are just as talented as the Tennessee Titans, but there's
more
a little
talented,
bit
talented, maybe
probably, yeah, probably more talented when you look at the rosters. But there's a lot of fiddling going on with the owner and not and basically becoming the GM and also being a
coach by proxy and basically having a puppet as a coach in Jason Garrett and not really letting a lot of people do their jobs in the organization. And the Titans from the top down have allowed their employees like John Robinson to be able to do that. And John Robinson letting Mike Vrabel coach, they've allowed themselves to do that. They've done it the right way from an organizational standpoint, and that is reflected in their performance on the field. And it's an awesome thing to watch. And that's how you're able to pull upsets like you do tonight. And it's all the establishment of a winning culture from the owners down to the players.
We have a tweet from Earl Thomas. Earl Thomas tweets out, "The Drake curse is real. LOL, JK." Earl Thomas, who criticized other teams for not being willing to tackle Derrick Henry. A little bit of smack talk coming into this. I don't have a problem with Earl Thomas doing that. I think it's all in good fun, part of the game, what you do. But if you talk it, you got to be able to back it up. And we saw at one point in that game, Derrick Henry threw the stiff arm out a little bit. Earl Thomas kind of turned the other way, started running with Henry instead of trying to stop him.
Derrick Henry spun him like a top. I thought that was one of the funnier plays in the game.
That's a good player in Earl Thomas.
And that's a great tackler. And I think maybe it was like a play or two before that I tweeted that Earl Thomas just doesn't miss tackles, that it's not necessarily his thing, in air quotes. Earl Thomas is one of the most sure-handed tacklers in the league, and he got spun like a top. You don't see Earl Thomas specifically get stiff-armed the way Earl Thomas got stiff-armed by Derrick Henry, and that was one of the better stiff-arms that you'll see in football. I mean, one of my favorite pictures from this game is a freeze-frame photo of Earl Thomas having his back to Derrick Henry while Derrick Henry has his arm extended running along the sideline. One of the better images from tonight's game. And yeah, I don't even know if I would consider what Earl Thomas said about them being more sure-handed tacklers, more willing to tackle Derrick Henry than Patriots players, is like trash talk. It's very loose trash talk, but yeah. It was kind of, I guess, throwing shade at the Patriots defense, when in reality, they kind of just went out there and did the exact same thing the Patriots did, and that's quit tackling Derrick Henry when it mattered most, and Derrick Henry just running all over their defense.
We're still taking your calls here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. As long as you want to call in, we want to keep talking with you. Post-game coverage, the return, Calvin Smith, Elijah Campbell, recapping everything that just went down with that Titans and Ravens game. For you who's out there driving around, going home from the bar, you just watch the game with all your friends, wherever you are. You're in the back of an Uber. I want to hear from you. Give me a call, 615-737-1025, The Game, 615-737-1025. It's 12:40 in the morning. We're pushing through here. Give us a call. We'll be right back with the return on ESPN 102.5 The Game. The Titans put on for the city of Nashville and the state of Tennessee tonight against the Baltimore Ravens. We're calling this show The Return.
I like it. The return. We have the kickoff pregames. It's only fitting that we can call this the return afterwards in the postgame setup. If anyone has another better idea to call it, instead of Dumb and Dumber, we've heard that before and we're not going to accept it now.
It's not funny anymore.
It's trademarked. It's a movie. We can't take that here. So for now, it's the return.
Big trust. This is Calvin Smith and Elijah Campbell with you here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, live from the Wholesale Inc. studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. If you like what you've heard from us so far in any respect, give me a follow on Twitter at SmithAcalvin. You can find Elijah on Twitter at E_Campbell3. And we have a producer behind the board, Jared Cassidy, who we'd like to give a big round of applause
to. He's got the sound already. He's a pro, ladies and gentlemen. He's a pro.
Jared, go ahead and turn your mic on real quick. I want to hear from you what your reaction to this game was, because you aren't a Titans fan, but you busted out the Tennessee Titans polo.
That is correct. I am a Patriots fan, but since I am born here and raised here, I will always be a Titans fan. So I really did. I enjoyed it, man. That game was crazy. The defense stepped up huge. They stopped them. It's just, moving on to the AFC Championship, you just can't write anything better than this. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
You really can't write anything better than a team who needed a new quarterback desperately. And that was a debate in this town. Ryan Tannehill comes in, breathes completely new life into the team. Derrick Henry energizes the rest of his season, goes off completely on his way to rushing for the most yards
in the NFL. And we'll give our concluding thoughts here before we finish up at 12:45 at night. Elijah, our day started. Woo! We both got to the studio at 8:15 this morning.
Yeah, this is what I call a grown man work day. We did it today. I mean, we put in the hours, and as you should. I mean, this is one of the better sports moments this media market has experienced in a long, long time, and it's only fitting that we come out and show out today and be able to get the pulse of the fan base, tap into that, and let everybody get it off their chest how good they feel. This fan base has deserved it. We talked about it off air. Zach Mettenberger was only 5 years ago. I mean, this team is not far removed from some very, very, very dark days. And those dark days that included getting your rear handed to you by some of the worst teams in the NFL, winning 2-3 games a season, having a second overall quarterback pick that showed some promise, and then you had some colossal disappointments in the last couple of years with some inconsistencies that have really plagued some of your seasons. And then the doubt. There has been doubts every year with these Titans teams. We've always asked the question, is this Titans team good? Well, are the Titans for real? Are they finally consistent? We can put that to bed tonight, knowing that the Titans are going to the AFC Championship game for the first time since the 2002 season. I think we've answered a lot tonight.
And Jared, a pro producer.
And that is the appropriate feeling that every Titans fan needs to feel tonight. They've earned it. They've deserved it. They have been patient. And tonight you get to reap what you have sowed.
You know, I'm not even going to try to get into the conference championship or next season or the offseason for this Titans team, because it's just not worth the conversation right now. What this Titans team is resilient. What Titans fans are who stuck this out with them are resilient. Everybody involved in this deserves it, because you know the work it took to build this team up from the shambles it was in. It's an admirable job by the coaching staff, by the front office, to come in here, energize life into this town, into a depleted franchise, into a depleted professional football city. And they did it, and they're delivering on, honestly, not even big promises, but expectations of what the Titans were with Steve McNair and Eddie George and the ghosts that were. Well, now they've lived up to it.
They've lived up to it. And they've buried the ghost of disappointments past. 2008, 2009, when the Baltimore Ravens came into Nissan and snatched the soul of the franchise, erased. 2000, erased.
Here we are. The Titans still have another game to get to the Super Bowl. It's only four quarters, but we can't overstate how fun this has been with this team, considering we were talking about them having a top 10 pick back in October, and that's a crazy development, and I believe that is all we will have here on the return tonight. Elijah Campbell, any parting words?
Tighten up. Your Tennessee Titans are heading to the 2020 AFC Championship game, and they are four quarters away from football's ultimate prize.
We will have your coverage starting at 6 a.m. Monday morning. You can bet there will be a lot of Tennessee Titans talk on these airwaves from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. every single day here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming all around the world on thegamenashville.com and the Game Nashville app. Of course, you'll be able to hear the kickoff next week before the Titans play either the Chiefs or the Texans at whatever time that game may be. I believe it's going to be a 2:00 kick. It's already been determined. So that means you will get the kickoff bright and early in the morning, likely. For Elijah Campbell, for producer Jared, I'm Calvin Smith, and we will see you very soon, Nashville.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.